Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
So for the next 3 weeks, what we're going to do is we're going to be talking about mountains will move faith. We're going to be looking at a scripture or some scriptures that Jesus used. Jesus spoke a lot on mountain-moving faith. It's very, very interesting. You know, most preachers have certain illustrations that they'll use in different settings. Maybe I'll tell a story and you'll say, well, I remember he told that in another sermon, or I'll use an illustration or an expression. You'll say, yeah, John says that a lot. Jesus was like that. Jesus had certain expressions that he was fond of, certain expressions that showed up in his preaching on different occasions. And we're going to look at those particular expression about mountain-moving faith. We find it in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Watch this. Nothing will be impossible for you. Jesus is saying that there's nothing that's impossible for you and I when we have that mountain-moving faith. And I want to suggest to you in that passage, we're going to look at it in a moment, that comes through fasting and prayer. He talks about it again in Mark chapter 11. This is a different moment in his ministry. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Jesus says there's a level of faith that is mountain-moving faith. Fasting takes us to that level of faith. In Luke chapter 17, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. In other words, when you and I are fasting, when you and I are praying and believing God, obstacles in our life that seem immovable, things we've prayed about that have not happened. When you and I fast and pray, when we spend time with the Lord and he empowers us with that supernatural faith that results in miracles, mountains will move. Now, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 17. So if you have your Bible, you have your iPhone, if you could turn there, or your Android, turn to Matthew chapter 17. We're going to be looking at verses 14 through 21. The title of the message is Faith and Fasting. Faith and Fasting. When we come to Matthew chapter 17, it's the story of a father who has a son who is both sick and demonized. Sometimes sickness that people experience is spiritually induced. Not every time, but sometimes. Sometimes people are sick and they have spiritual issues happening, a spiritual attack. That's the case here. It's a very interesting story. It's so important to the gospel writers that it appears three times. It's in Matthew's gospel, Mark's gospel, and in Luke's gospel, which tells us this is a story. If you see something in the Bible one time, we ought to pay attention to whatever we read one time. But if we see it two times, then it's like, oh, wow, this is like a reminder. Hey, don't miss this. If you see it three times, then you know this is very, very important. What's here is something that God wants us to get a hold of. He wants it to be in our heart. He wants us to understand it, to grasp it. As we look at it, a very simple outline, we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at human weakness, then we're going to look at divine power, and then we're going to look at faith and fasting. Human weakness, divine power, and faith and fasting. Let's look at human weakness. When you come to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, Jesus has just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration, where he has been transformed, and the glory that was on the inside of him has now been radiated on the outside, and he's had some of his disciples with him. and they've seen his glory, and they also saw Moses, and they saw Elijah, and they were talking with the Lord about his coming kingdom. It was a glorious sight. But now he comes down from the mountain, and it's as if the gospel writers, all three of them, and the Lord himself is juxtaposing these two scenarios. You have glory and you have suffering. On the mountain, you had a father who said, "This is my son, and I love him, and I'm pleased with him." And so you have a pleased father on the mountain, and you have a broken, pleading father at the base. You've got a pleasing son up on the mountain. You've got a perverted son down at the bottom of the mountain. You've got holy wonder and awe on top of the mountain, and you've got holy terror down at the bottom of the mountain. And here is his father, and he's facing a horrible situation. Let's look at it, beginning in verse 14. "And when they came to the crowd, a man came up to him, and kneeling before him said, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic.'" Literally, in the Greek, the word that is used there is a word that it would be lunatic. Lunatic comes from the word lunar, the moon, and the ancients believed that if people had mental issues, it was caused by the moon, the phases of the moon, that if you slept outside when there was no moon, that you opened yourself up to demonic beings. Now, none of that's in the Bible. I'm just saying those were the kind of traditions and thoughts. So he is saying he's an epileptic. He has seizures. As we're going to see, he doesn't have light seizures, he has grand mal seizures, which in and of itself is horrific on its own. But then Mark goes on to tell us, we won't take time to look at it, you can look at it in Mark chapter 9. Mark tells us that the boy is deaf, he can't hear, he's mute, he can't speak. So now you have this child, and he is unable to communicate. He's got these seizures that happen, and Luke uses the word that when the spirit comes on him, the demonic being, it literally mauls him and slams him to the ground. Mark uses the word, it shatters him. So we're talking about a child. I mean, can you imagine as a parent having a son or a daughter in that kind of desperate situation? And you know it's not natural. There's a spirit that's involved, because what the spirit is doing is the spirit is slamming him to the ground with such concussive force that it initiates a seizure. Besides that, the father will tell Jesus in Mark chapter 9 that often the evil spirit tries to throw him in the fire and tries to drown him, throw him in a well. I mean, this is an unimaginable situation. You can imagine the heartbreak of the father. We don't know anything else about the family, but it requires constant care from the family and maybe the extended family. And certainly there would be this family ostracized in the community, nobody wanting to get near, nobody knowing what to do. I mean, what do you say to somebody in that situation? And he suffers terribly, for often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And Mark says the father tells Jesus it's the spirit that is pushing him in there. Verse 16, "And I brought him," this is the father talking to Jesus, "I brought him to your disciples and they could not heal him." It's very, very interesting. Have they cast demons out of people before? Yes. Have they healed people? Yes. They've healed a lot of people. In fact, if you look in Mark's gospel, chapter 6, and that's Jesus, called the 12, that's the disciples, and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. They had authority. Now look at it. "And they cast out many demons." They didn't do it just once. They didn't do it just twice. They did it frequently. And they anointed with oil many who were sick, and they healed them. So many people were healed. Many people were set free. Many people had been impacted by their ministry. I mean, why couldn't they do it now? All of that points to a reality that I think illustrates the necessity of seasons of fasting and prayer. And it is simply this, that sometimes what you and I would normally do and experience results is not enough to get the results we need. That human ability and even our own human normal spirituality many times is enough. You and I have many times prayed with somebody and asked God to touch them and maybe been in that moment somewhat surprised at the level with which God answered that prayer. Maybe you've seen God do things and you're like, wow, that's amazing. So all of us can have God use us. All of us can have God answer prayers that we pray. All of us can see God work through us in the lives of other people. And yet, there are some mountains in our life that will not move unless we fast and pray. There are some things that will not happen in the normal flow of our life and our walking with God unless you and I fast and pray. In that sense, fasting and prayer takes us to a different level. A level of experiencing mountains moving. This father faces a mountain. It's a horrible situation. That leads us to divine power. Divine power. Let's look at it. Verse 17. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. So the Father's saying, I brought him to your disciples. Listen, did the disciples think they could cast out a demon? Yes. Did the disciples believe that the boy would be healed? Yes. Jesus, though, says they're faithless. Which illustrates a very interesting reality for all of us, and I think a sobering reality, that there's many times God's people have what they think is faith, but it is not faith at all. The issue here, as we're going to see, it's introduced here. Oh, faithless generation, who's that apply to? It applies certainly to the crowd, certainly to the disciples, and certainly to the Father. The Father is essentially in a place where he's about ready to give up hope. Matthew doesn't record what happens next, but Mark does in Mark chapter 9. So they brought him, and when the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. And he fell to the ground and he rolled around foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? Isn't this really, I mean, this is the care and the compassion of our God. He cares about where you're at. He cares about what you're going through. He cares about what you've gone through. He wants to know. He wants to hear. What you're watching here is recorded for us, what you could call a prayer conversation with the Lord. I hope you talk to Jesus and tell him what's on your heart. I hope you do more than just say, Lord, heal this person, heal that person. I hope you explain the situation to him. That you learn to converse with the Lord like it was said of Moses. He talked to the Lord face to face as a man talks with his friend. I hope you view your prayer time as you and Jesus as friends just talking with one another. From childhood, the man answered, it has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. The demon's trying to take his life. But if you can, it's not at all like the lepers who come to Jesus at the start of Mark's gospel. I think it's verse 40. And they say, Lord, if you're willing, you can do this. The Father's even doubting if Jesus has the power. His disciples couldn't do it. If they couldn't do it, I don't know. If you can do anything, it would sure be great. Take pity on us and help us. God cares about you. He knows where you're at. But it's good for us to learn to talk to God. Some of you, your conversations, if you talk to your friends the way you talk to God, they probably would avoid you. Because you don't treat God like a friend. You don't talk to him like a friend. Your conversation's very one-sided, and it is full of, I need you to do this, 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 amen, bye. He wants to be our friend. Look at him, verse 23. Jesus, if you can. Jesus is like, I am God. Everything is possible for him who believes. What's possible? Everything. How does everything become possible? You have to believe. That's what Jesus says to him. Now back to Matthew. And Jesus rebuked him, that's the demon, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. In other words, what's needed in this situation is not only an exorcism, but a healing. I think one of the things that happens when you and I are walking close with the Lord is we have a discernment that comes into our life that goes beyond seeing just what we see with our eyes and helps us see what's happening in the spirit realm. It's interesting how the presence of the Lord will do that. So an individual came up to me on Wednesday night. We were all gathered. This is before the pandemic, but it was in this year. Came up, and it was a young couple, and they said, hey, can you pray with us? And I said, well, what's the problem? And he had narcolepsy. Falls asleep all the time. And they explained it was horrible. And as I'm sitting there for just a moment in the presence of the Lord, because I think it's a good thing to always ask the Lord, how should I pray for this? Sometimes you just pray what you think is best. Other times the Lord has something to say about how you should pray. So as I'm praying, as I'm just there in the presence of the Lord, just taking a minute to collect myself, I felt like the Lord says, it is a spirit that is causing this. That's a little bit, it's kind of dim. You can't really see facial expressions and you're a little careful. But I felt like, you know, if we want healing here, we've got to pray the prayer that directed by the Lord. And I rebuked the spirit. The next Sunday they came, they were so excited. He was healed. He went home instantly healed in the name of Jesus. The point of that is simply to say this, that you're in the presence of the Lord. This is, again, I think one of the great reasons why you need to be in the prayer meeting. There are things that happen when we are collectively seeking God. There is a grace and a power of the Lord that is present. When the body gathers together in his name, Jesus says, where two or three gather together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He's there in a unique and a powerful way when God's people gather. Second, it's simply a matter of saying, you know what, we need to be led by the Lord when we're addressing the issues of people's life. Some of you have a mountain that needs to be moved in your life, and you've been praying about it one way, and I believe that as we go through this fast, God may give you insight and discernment so that you address the problem in a different way in prayer that leads to victory along with your faith and faithfulness. So it's very interesting as you look at that he casts out the demon and he heals him. That leads us to the third point, faith and fasting. Let's look at it in verse 19. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and they said, why could we not cast it out? You have to know, as they're watching the whole thing go down, they're like, you know, initially when Jesus comes, they're probably like, huh, I'll see how he does, you know. But then they watch and they're like, say what? Jesus, I thought you gave me authority over demons. Why couldn't I cast out a demon? Some of you, what's happened to you is you've come to a place in your life where you do more questioning than you do believing. Jesus, I prayed over here and it didn't happen, and I want an explanation of that. Jesus, I thought you said we had a, I thought you said if we ask in your name, well, I don't get why it says ask and you'll receive and I haven't. And we spend a lot of time going through that. You rehearse that in your mind long enough and it will lead you to the land of doubt as a place where you reside. And you'll see little of God's working in your life. There's reasons. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, one of the reasons is the answer that Jesus is going to give us here. Why couldn't we do it? Verse 20. And he said to them, because of your little faith. Now, did they think they could cast out the demon? Yes. Did they believe they could? Yes. Did they believe Jesus had given them authority? Yes. Did they believe the demon would leave? Yes. Did they believe they could heal the boy? Yes. It's a very interesting thing. What it tells us, though, is what they thought was not faith at all. I think there's a lot of people who, because of the way we use the words believe and faith and at times their interchangeability, that we have a tendency to equate our ability to think God could do something with faith that he will do something. And the two are not the same. They're completely different. Charles Price was a great faith healer in the 1930s, healed tens of thousands of people, traveled the country. And here's what Charles Price said. The mistake with many is that they confuse Christ's imparted faith with their mental ability to believe. Now, let me just say, here's what happens when you and I are fasting. There's different kinds of faith. Maybe you've never thought of this, but it's very important to understand this. There's saving faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. There's a faith that saves you, that you believe God for salvation. You can't get saved unless you have that. That moment that says, I'm going to do this. I believe he's going to save me. I believe if I go to him, he'll save me. That is not of you. It's of God. It's a gift of God, Ephesians says, so no one can boast. Then there's faith for serving. There's a serving faith. Every man should serve, he talks in Romans chapter 12, according to the faith given him. So you have faith. You have faith to serve. Well, I believe I could do that. I believe I could. It takes faith to serve as a host. It takes faith to do anything you're doing in the church because it's more than just like if you're out in the parking lot, it's more than parking cars. People can figure that out. They do it every day at Walmart. You're not there. They know they're not there to park cars. They're there to minister to people, to welcome them. That takes faith. So there's a faith for serving. Then there is a supernatural faith that brings about supernatural miracles. What fasting does, what spending time in the presence of the Lord does. And this is why fasting and prayer, why it goes together, is because when you're fasting, anybody who's done it knows you become more sensitive to the presence of the Lord. You're like hungry, and you're like, man, I'm so hungry. And then it reminds you of why you are hungry, and the reason why is because you're seeking the Lord. You're like, oh, Lord, I'm fasting, and I'm believing. And what happens is through that interchange over time, you begin to move into the presence of the Lord, and he begins to infuse you with the power that's his power, not your power, that helps you to do what you couldn't do any other way, right? So here's what he says. To sit down and repeat, I am healed, I am healed, I am healed, is not only unscriptural, but spiritually dangerous. I admit that such a spiritually unsound method might help a few neurotics, but it would never remove the mountain that the master said faith would. Isn't it evident that when we have prayed what we thought was the prayer of faith and nothing happened, it must be that what we thought was faith was not faith at all? Did Jesus say that faith as a grain of mustard seed would work sometimes and not at others? Read the text again. His declaration was plain and specific. There was nothing ambiguous about it. It was a clear statement of fact from the lips of the eternal God himself. And who can speak with greater authority than he can? Whenever and wherever this faith is active, we won't be standing around poor, sick folks hour after hour, rebuking, commanding, struggling, and pleading. As in the past, when Christ's faith is imparted, the storm dies down and there's peace in the soul. The only sound is the voice of thanksgiving and praise. That's when we realize it wasn't our ability to believe that made the sickness go, but that Christ's faith was given. Then it will be morning, glorious morning in our soul. You can't work yourself up into a greater place of faith. Now, I think you can build yourself up with the Word of God. You can strengthen your faith. But when we're talking about supernatural faith, this comes from the Lord. It comes from Him. Now back to Matthew, and I want you to look at this for just a moment. For truly I say to you, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed. How big's a mustard seed? I got a little thing of mustard seed. So I don't know whether you can see it there. And, oh, that one you will never see. There, can you see that? Oh, it rolled off. Whoa, can you see it? You can see it, just here, I'll let him fall. You can see him. You know how much faith you have to move a mountain? Right there. So let's not make this complicated. You know, the disciples, we're going to look at this later. Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus is like, let's not make this too hard. You only have to have this much. That's all you need. Just a little tiny bit of faith. If it's the real thing, will move that mountain. You will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing. You say, well, I've got this situation and I just don't, nothing. You say, but I've seen somebody and they, nothing. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. Nothing will be impossible. And then, verse 21, but this kind never comes out except, but. Nothing's impossible, but. You know, it's not automatic. Nothing's impossible, but this kind never comes out except by prayer and fasting. Mark 9:29, he replied, this kind can come out only by prayer and fasting. So what's that tell us about the disciples? They're not praying and they're not fasting, so they can do some things sometime, but they can't do things other times. That's the lesson. I mean, that's why when we talk about this fasting and prayer, 21 days, we're not talking about luxuries. We're not talking about options. We're talking about essentials. We're talking about seeing God do what would not happen any other way than by you and I getting in the presence of God, you and I fasting, going without food because we're saying, God, I want your presence. I want that supernatural mountain-moving faith in my life more than I want anything else. I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to believe you. And I'm just saying, that's why we gotta fast. That's why we have to fast. And when we do, mountains will move. What is your mountain? What is it that hasn't happened? You've prayed about it, but it hasn't happened. You've asked God for it, but it hasn't come. What answer is it? You say, well, I prayed before. Well, then pray again and fast. You say, I've fasted before. Then believe God that this is the time that, you know, listen, we go from glory to glory. So your faith is going to get strengthened, but you don't need a lot. You only need a little tiny bit of faith. And when you spend time in the presence of the Lord, you're going to get a little bit of faith that will move the mountain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word because it's true. And God, I pray that today, at every campus, in every place, at the West Campus, at the North Campus, at Joplin, online, and here at the South Campus, that Lord, you would touch your people in the name of Jesus. God, that you'd show yourself powerful, that you would do what only you can do. And Lord, I pray that you would call your people. I pray there would be a holy presence of the Lord that would fall on every heart, on every home, on every person, that Lord, as we would have a hunger to see you work in our life like we've never seen it before, that we would have a hunger and a desire to see mountains move like we've never seen them move before. And that, Lord, as we fast and as we pray over these next 21 days, that mountains will move in Jesus' name, that miracles will happen in Jesus' name, that you, oh God, will do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for it.